From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called When Thieves Fall Out, part of this series in the book of Judges. In chapter 9, following the death of Gideon, his illegitimate son Abimelech murdered all but one of Gideon's 70 legitimate sons and proclaimed himself king. He was aided in this by the men of Shechem. Jotham, the lone survivor of the purge, employed a fable to declare God's curse upon those traitors, likening Abimelech's pact with the Shechemites to the trees of the forest appointing a bramble or a thistle to be their king. He prophesied the destruction of the trees by fire that came out from the bramble. And as it turned out, the prophecy came true, for the Lord sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, ultimately resulting in Abimelech's death. Dr. Cairns is using this historical narrative to call attention to the great crime of apostasy, the characteristics of which are clearly revealed in this chapter. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Clearly Supernatural. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. One of the best methods of the Lord's defending his people is to make them strong in inward might. Men are better than walls, and faith is stronger than castles. The Lord can take the feeblest among us and make him like David, the champion of Israel. Lord, do this with me. Infuse thy power into me and fill me with sacred courage, that I may face the giant with sling and stone, confident in God. The Lord can make his greatest champions far mightier than they are. David can be as God, as the angel of Jehovah. This would be a marvelous development, but it is possible, or it would not be spoken of. O Lord, work with the best of our leaders. Show us what thou art able to do, namely, to raise thy faithful servants to a height of grace and holiness, which shall be clearly supernatural. Lord, dwell in thy saints, and they shall be as God. Put thy might into them, and they shall be as the living creatures who dwell in the presence of Jehovah. Fulfill this promise to thine entire church in this our day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Strong in the Lord and be of good courage, your defender is he who is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending, victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Trust him.
Time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
interesting here that apostasy revolves around a city of ancient identification with wickedness, the city of Shechem. In Genesis 34, Shechem was the city where the virgin daughter of Israel lost her purity. Interesting. Even more interesting, when we turn over to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and in the 17th chapter we find that the great apostasy of the last days is centered on a great city, which in chapter 18 is referred to as a cage for every unclean bird. A city of ancient identification with wickedness, with immodesty, with immorality, and with sorcery and demonism of every kind, and mostly with great political power. The city is identified for us. I laugh when I read the vain attempts of even so-called Protestant scholars to get out of the identification of the city in Revelation chapter 17. It is, says John, that great city which rules over the kingdoms of the earth. There was only one city that ruled in John's day. Only one. But then they tell us, well, that's just speaking of Imperial Rome. But it's very obviously not merely speaking of Imperial Rome. It is very obviously using the city as the basis of a religious movement. Dr. Haldeman, a great American preacher, in passing I can say a man whose preaching, at least on paper, has a fascinating and very, very attractive style. Speaks like a lawyer. Wish I could learn his style. Every sentence brief and pointed and powerful, building one upon the other until he hits the climax and you all go home. You'd like that, wouldn't you? Haldeman's dead. He won't take the call here. Some of his prophetic views, in fact, many of them I would reject. But he has a very interesting parallel between the church and Rome, identified in Revelation 17. The church is spoken of as a woman. So is this apostate organization. The church is spoken of as a city. So is this apostate organization. What we are dealing with here is a false church that stands at the head of a great apostasy that becomes a cage for every impure and unclean bird. Apostasy removes the moral restraint from a nation. It's very clear here. Let me tell you, the moral decline in this nation or in England or wherever the Church of Jesus Christ has ever had a strong voice is not attributable finally to social and economic pressures. It is attributable finally to the presence and persistence and activity of an apostasy that has set aside God, His Christ, and His Word, and has enthroned the system of Antichrist in His place. For this is the heart of apostasy, as you'll see. It is to raise God's enemy to the place of kingship. Anti-Christianity does have in it the idea necessarily of being against Christ and Christianity. But it is against them because it takes their place. Antichrist is one instead of Christ. Anti-Christianity is a religion instead of Christianity. Now watch it carefully. They not only are setting a false king, which is really what Antichrist is all about, but this apostasy runs on the fuel of religious compromise, of religious ecumenism, and indeed, to use the technical term, syncretism, that is the coming together of disparate religions. Look very carefully at what we have here in Judges chapter 9. First of all, in verse 4, notice the word, the house of Baal-berith, the God of the covenant. Only it's not Jehovah they're talking about here, it's Baal. Keep that in mind. Now turn to verse 28. Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Serve the man of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him?" Very evidently, the man of Shechem, the city of Shechem, was made up of Israelites and those who were the ancient Canaanitish stock, the children of Hamor. Go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find them. Here's a city, partly made up of professors of the true religion, partly made up of those who were ancient Canaanite idolaters. Now I come down to verse 46. "When all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into the hold of the house of the God Berith." The words "the God Berith" in the original scriptures are El Berith. El is the name of the God of Israel. They had already called their house Baal-berith. But now I see what they're doing. They're bringing Baal worship and they take the name of the God of Israel and they bring them together in one temple and one house and one religion and one worship. They will take Israelites and they will take Canaanites and they will bring them together in the embrace of one system. And that is the heart and the essence of ecumenical apostasy. Men and women, I tell you, Judges 9 is having a reenactment in the day in which we live. We are living to see this come to pass, that fueled by religious compromise, fueled by an ecumenical spirit, the great apostasy is proceeding to its climax. There's a lot of attention given recently to the visit of the Archbishop of Canterbury to Rome to seek to negotiate the coming together of the Church of Rome and the worldwide Anglican Communion. Robert Runcie went cap in hand, willing to go, as the newspapers in Britain said, farther than any other archbishop before him, willing to go further than any other so-called Protestant leader that there is today to bring about this ecumenical union. We have watched this happen for years, that the papacy has held this dangling carrot of church union, and these foolish men go nibbling after what seems to be an offer, but it never materializes. And when Runcie got to Rome, he found that all that you have to give is not enough. The apostasy will let you compromise, but ultimately, Rome will only have you on her terms, no other. Today, Martin Luther's church, the Lutheran church, has agreed with Rome on baptism, on the priesthood, on the Eucharist, which is the Mass, and even on justification. Incredible as it sounds, the major Lutheran bodies worldwide have made their peace with Rome and are ready, having compromised all that is precious, to forge the final great apostasy. The Anglicans have done the same. Anglicans were burned. Bishop Ryle's great little book that deals with why the Anglican bishops were burned makes this clear. They were burned because they would not accept the blasphemy of the Popish Mass. But now it's embraced. Presbyterians are not one whit better. In fact, I think they're an awful lot worse, because if anybody ought to know better, it would have been those who were given the greatest Protestant heritage of them all. But they're not one whit better. John Knox said, "I fear one Mass more than 10,000 French soldiers." But today, they embrace the Mass. Religious compromise is fueling the great apostasy. And the saddest part of it all is this. This is not just being done by the liberals. But in the Anglican Communion you have J.I. Packer, known as a leading Reformed theologian. His books on many subjects are among the best ever written on those subjects. His insights are valuable. J.I. Packer is now of the belief that we should pursue union with Rome. J.R. Stott, probably the leading clergyman in the Church of England among the evangelicals. Stott is now openly saying that evangelicals should be pursuing union with Rome. And helping to fuel it all by their compromise is the charismatic renewal, the charismatic delusion. David Watson, one of the charismatic Anglican leaders in England, put it very bluntly. He said the Protestant Reformation was the greatest tragedy in history. There is a great crime of apostasy going on today. There is a tremendously accelerated movement towards the production of the last of Abimelech's line. And I want to tell you, when these foolish evangelicals have gone the full way, they will find that Abimelech never changes. And he will root out all opposition. Antichrist is always a persecutor. Popery is drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and will drink more deeply yet of their blood. It's the great crime.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.